Welcome to Live Your Full Life Now podcast. So we are still on the subject of New Year and New Life, and we're still in the month of January, year 2020. I believe this is my fourth teaching on this subject. We've kind of just been exploring the current state of Christians and where they are with their faith, and what does it truly mean to be saved, to be a born-again believer. And we talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and whether it's necessary to be baptized or not, baptized in water as a child or as an adult, or whether it's necessary at all or not. And then also we talked about, actually, these were the things that I said I'm going to talk about. And the last one was, you know, a lot of people question God and they don't have answers. So then it makes them walk away from their faith. They question if there's a good God, if he's a good, loving God, how could he let evil happen? How come he doesn't stop it? How come he doesn't interfere? So that makes them just kind of, you know, throw their hands in the air and say, well, then I'm just not believing, or I'm spiritual, or I just believe if there's a God, then basically I'm a good person. And if there's a heaven and hell, I should go to heaven because, you know, I have good intentions and that should be good enough. So I said we're going to talk about these things. And again, like I said, I think this is the fourth teaching on this subject. And I want to share you guys a story about a parable that Jesus used. And this is, I want to read you guys from scripture. This is in Matthew 25. So I'm going to read you guys verses 1 through 13. And then we will kind of like break it down and try to understand what was Jesus trying to say, what was the message behind this parable, which again, it has to do with truly being saved means you have the Holy Spirit. So let me start reading that. So this is, again, Matthew 25, and this is how it goes. Verse 1, it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." And this is in verse 16. It says, "But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Lord, Lord,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.'" So this is a story that Jesus, this is a parable that Jesus is using in telling his disciples. And so if you want to break it down, it's talking about oil. It's talking about a wedding that's supposed to take place. It's talking about bridegroom, you know, the groom, and it's talking about 10 virgins. So what is the significance of this story, and why are they called some wise and some foolish? So I think it would make sense if you kind of know a little bit of history of, you know, the first century Jewish weddings. So apparently the way it happened was the bridegroom those days with some, at the time of the wedding, with some close friends would leave his house and he would go to the bride's house where there were, you know, different kinds of ceremonies, and then followed by would be a procession throughout on the streets at after midnight back to his home. And then the bridesmaids or the friends of the bride, they would be part of that, assisting the bride and expecting to meet the groom as he came to the bride's house. So everybody in the procession, because now it's dark, right? would be expected to have their lamp with oils or some kind of light that would guide them, because the streets are dark and they're going to the celebration. So each day had to have their own light, right? And the ones that did not have it, then they would not be considered part of that wedding, and they would be considered some strangers who were trying to come, join the wedding, who did not belong there, right? They were not invited. They were not part of the wedding. They were not the bride's friends. They were pretty much strangers who were just kind of trying to crash the weddings. So this is, I believe, the story that Jesus used as a parable. And so the torch was either a lamp, or some kind of lighting that they had to have. So now let's kind of again break it down piece by piece for it to make sense. So what does oil represent in the Bible? From Exodus all the way in to New Testament, the Bible talks about oil, and this oil represents anointing and sanctifying from priests to kings, and as well as being used in the tabernacle. It's even being used to go heal people, anoint them with oil, so they can get well. So it has to do with being set apart, sanctifying, right? So oil, just keep that in the back of your mind. And then the next thing that it talked about was the bride and groom. Why does it talk about bride and groom? And who is it referencing? Who is the groom supposed to be? Who are the brides supposed to be? And the Bible talks about, apparently, Jesus is the groom and the bride is the church. The bride are the believers. So believers make up, all of them make up the bride of the church, which is the bride of Christ. So Christ is supposed to be the groom, and believers are supposed to be the bride. And every single one of the believers have a different function, as in our body there's different parts, and every part has a different function, and they all work together, correct? So I want to share some examples with you guys as far as that goes. So Mark 2 verse 18 says, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came to Jesus and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples fast, but your disciples don't?" Jesus replied, "Can wedding guests fast while the groom is still with them? As long as they have the groom with them, they cannot fast. But the time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, then they will fast." So he's referring to himself, right? They're saying, "How come everybody's fasting, but your disciples are not fasting?" And he's saying, "Why should they fast as long as I'm with them?" But he's referencing himself as the groom, okay? So that's one example in the Bible that that is referenced as groom. And Revelations 19, 7 through 9, again, it talks about that. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Then the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the words, the true words of God." So it's talking about a wedding that's taking place, right? It's talking about, it says, rejoice. There's going to be celebration. There's going to be a wedding of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus is the Lamb, right? Who is the bride? The brides are all the believers. Now, all the believers, because there are, different kinds of believers. No, only the believers who have fine linen, bright and clean, it says it was given to her to wear. Again, bride is the church, who are made up of all the believers who have the Holy Spirit. So the fine linen, bright and clean clothes was given to her to wear. What is that? Is that our acts of doing good, like being a good person? No, this is the Holy Spirit has been given to believers. And so I hope that's starting to make sense to you guys, that The virgins who had the oil are the ones who had the Holy Spirit. So again, the Bible uses oil to represent the Holy Spirit. So the foolish virgins were the ones who did not have the oil. They were missing the oil. What does that mean? They were missing the Holy Spirit. It sounded like they had all the intention. They were with the other believers. They were waiting for the groom, right? They were in anticipation of it. They believed they're like all the same. Like there's no difference between them and the other ones who had the oil. So this goes to tell you there's a lot of people out there who believe they're saved, but they're not, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And which means they don't have the new birth. They're not born again. They pretty much have believed a story with their mind and accepted it, but with their heart, they haven't had that conversion, that transformation that comes only from receiving the Holy Spirit. They have not yielded themselves to the bridegroom, who is Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means when somebody, first of all, has to acknowledge that they're sinners, right? Repent from their sins and ask God to be their Lord and Savior. They believe that in the power of resurrection. They believe, you know, the verse that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." They truly believe that. They truly believe Romans 10:9 that says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart," not your mind, not just your mind, your heart, "that God raised him from the dead," you truly believe that. It says you will be saved, for it is with your heart, that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So in other words, if you believe in your mind, but not your heart, it doesn't count. You have to believe with your heart, and that he was raised from the dead. And if you're like too, it's not cool enough for you to say I'm Christians or to profess I believe in Jesus, because you have friends that don't, again, they're going to look at you like you're being silly. You know, that's your religion, that's fine, but that's not the only way. Or so you're not going to confess it because you're afraid of being judged. You're afraid of being looked down at, or just like you're naive if you think that, if you believe that story, then you're not part of it, because it says Romans 10:9, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. You're not ashamed of it. You actually say it. And then there's another group of people that might say, no, 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 you're wrong. I'm sorry. The oil has to do with your works. So Jesus is going to come back at a time when nobody knows, right? He's going to be like a surprise. And it's saying be ready with the oil, which means be a good person, do good, like be honest. And because if you're not, you don't know, whenever he shows up, then he can catch you, you know, red-handed, and now you've sinned, and now he's not going to take you. It doesn't say that. You know, it says, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So I'm not saying that. The Bible is saying it's not by your works that you are saved, because no matter how hard you work, I'm going to include myself, every single person born on earth, we're still sinners. There's no way we can live in a way that we don't sin at all. And to be in God's presence, you have to be righteous. You have to be without sin. He's holy, so we have to be holy. How can we be holy? Definitely not by our works. There's no way we can make ourselves holy. But by receiving the Holy Spirit, he's making us righteous by our faith in Christ, by our faith and the finished works of Christ. So really, this is what this story is about, that unfortunately, a lot of people think that they're saved, they're ready, they're hanging out other Christians, they have the lamp, which is, I believe it's could be the word of God, because there's a verse that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." They have it, they're around other believers, they do the same thing, they go to church, but it's really, they don't have the oil. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus comes, he's going to say, "I'm sorry, I don't know you." Why? Because they're still in their sins, right? Because they don't have a personal relationship with him. They haven't received the gift of salvation. They, in their head they do, but not in their heart. they haven't had that transformation in their lives. Because think about it, if somebody's truly has had a new birth in their spirit, you will see it in their actions. You will see it, you will see a transformation in them. They might go through the same experiences, same trials as everybody else, but their reaction is different. The way they live their life is different. Doesn't mean they're above everybody else and nothing ever happens to them and they have this perfect life. Doesn't mean it does not mean that at all. But it does mean that the way their experiences are, the way their reaction is, the way they handle things is different. So next time you hear the story about the 10 virgins, now you kind of know what's it about, right? 10 virgins are, it's supposed to be the example of 10 bridesmaids, five that were ready. They're the believers who have the Holy Spirit, and five that are just playing religion and they don't think they need to have it. It's a head knowledge. It's not a transformation of heart. They don't have a personal relationship with Christ. They're the ones who will not be joining Christ as his bride. So I just thought it's really important to share the story because I believe there's tons of believers out there, tons of Christians out there who underestimate this receiving of the Holy Spirit and a new birth and being born again because they've been taught religion and they think that's just good enough for me and I don't need to go to church or I don't need to. And again, it's not just based on. And some people do go to church and they still don't have the Holy Spirit. It's really just a transformation of heart. And when that happens, then you something changes inside you where the things that were wrong that you were doing before, now it feels wrong. Now it feels bad. Now you don't get the same enjoyment of doing that. Now your heart is going after what's right, what's good. Not necessarily means it's going to benefit you everything because sometimes we have to suffer in our flesh to please God. So it's just a different life. It's a transformation of heart, but it's a good life. So I hope this story kind of brought it into light. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit and to understand how important it is to have it if you want to, because this life is temporary, let's face it. One day we won't be here. One day we have a time limit, how long we're going to live. Hopefully a long time and healthy and strong, but at the end we will still shed this physical body. And what then? So this is what the story is about. What then? You have to be ready. You have to have the Holy Spirit. So hopefully that sheds some light on that. But I would like to continue this teaching on the subject of New Year, New Life, and I promise that we will talk about God's motives. If God is good, how come bad things happen? How come He doesn't get involved or doesn't stop it? I think it's important to explore that because a lot of people have walked away from their faith because they feel like if there's a God, this should be heaven on earth. There shouldn't be any problem. So we'll definitely be talking about that. So until the next teaching, God be with you and God bless you.